I will now read Luke 6:27, verses 27 to 36. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill treat you. If someone strike you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking. Give to everyone who asks you. And if you take what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have to do to them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them that lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Paulette. If you come here regularly, you'll know that I'm going through the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And last time I was looking at the Gospel of Luke, we were looking in chapter 6 as experiencing God's blessing in tough times. And today we're looking at radical love in the verses that Paulette has read to us. And we found that Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 6 is really radical, because following Jesus is radical. And we need to realize that. Following Jesus is radical, because Jesus takes society's morals and principles and he turns them upside down. Jesus challenges us to be radically different from the people and the society around us. And we sometimes forget that in the Western society, which is normally Christian, that God actually calls those who are his followers to be radically different, to make that stand for Jesus. And in these verses, Jesus is teaching his followers to have a radically different attitude and behavior towards their enemies. And we might think, well, you know, what relevance has that got to me? I haven't really got any enemies. Well, just think for a moment of perhaps the person that you don't speak to, or the person that you avoid, or the person who has hurt or abused you in the past. And, you know, all of us do struggle. Well, it may not be enemies who are going to come and kill us, but we still can have enemies in our hearts and our minds. Sometimes we can be at enmity with members of our family. And so we're brought up, or we're grown up, or we live with a situation where we have no contact with members of our family because they are estranged to us because of something that's happened in the past. So what Jesus is teaching here is relevant to all of us, I believe. And Jesus is teaching us to positively love our enemies, to have a radical love for them. Martin Luther King preached one of his most powerful sermons on these verses in Luke 6. He entitled it, Loving Your Enemies. He wrote it while he was in prison in Georgia, convicted for his campaigning against racial injustice. And this is just a small quote of what he said. He said, hate multiplies hate in a descending spiral of violence, which is just as injurious to the person he hates as to his victim. But love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. Love has creative power. Love has redemptive power. Meet hate with love. Those are powerful words. Martin Luther King was in prison when he wrote those words. He was a man who was greatly hated for his campaign for racial equality, who was later to be assassinated in a hate crime. Martin Luther King's words were based on the teachings of Jesus, the Son of God, who was also greatly hated by the authorities, who was later to be assassinated on the cross because of who he was, because of what he taught, and because of the miracles that he performed. Jesus says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies." The other religious leaders of Jesus' day taught the people, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. They were teaching the people that hate was okay. They were to love their neighbor, they were to love their own people, they were to love the fellow Jews, but it was fine for them to hate the non-Jew, to hate their Roman oppressors, to hate the Gentiles, to hate the Samaritans, to hate religious traitors. But what the religious leaders were teaching in Jesus' day was not actually based even on the Old Testament. Because nowhere in the Old Testament does it say that it's okay to hate our enemies. Proverbs 25:21 teaches, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. But Jesus is far more radical than the Old Testament. Jesus says, love your enemies. He's saying, don't just help them. Don't just give them food and drink. Love them. Love them regardless of their race, their color, their creed, their background. Love them regardless of what they have done to you. Even if you have every reason to hate them, try and love them. And Jesus is teaching this radically different way of living. And he demands the highest standards of love for us who are his disciples. How many of us would say we're Christians, disciples, followers of Jesus? There are a few hands, the rest of you are asleep. Well, Jesus says to us, says to you and says to me, love your enemies. But how can we love our enemies? Verse 27 says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And Jesus is telling us how we can love our enemies. We can love them by our words. Bless those who curse you. Speak positively to those who are negative. Speak love to those who hate. When we speak love to those who hate us, it is powerful, it is radical, and it works. Try it. You know, when I became a Christian many years ago at agricultural college, there was one particular Christian who absolutely hated Christians. But I don't know why, but you know, he more or less sort of spat venom every time I saw him. He tried to mock me. He tried to turn people against me. He got me into trouble or try and get me into trouble. He hated everything I stood for and believed in. And I found the best thing for me to do was to ignore the hate and try and speak kindly to him, to be friendly, to be helpful to him. It made him even madder. You'll find that that tends to happen. But you see, others could see how unjustified his hate and spite was. You know, we can love our enemies with our words. And you know, it's really great fun actually sometimes being kind and loving to those who are speaking nastily about you or doing things against you. If you meet it with love, you disarm them. Because they expect you to retaliate the rest of the world. And there's a different way. We can also, so we can love our enemies by our words. Jesus says we can love our enemies by our actions. Do good to those who hate you. Meet hate with kindness, with generosity, with helpfulness. Meet negative hate with positive action. And it's powerful and it's radical and it works. Try it. If you've got someone who's an enemy, someone who you've not spoken to for a long while, meet it with love. Meet it with love. It's great fun being kind to those who've wronged you. It's a demonstration of Jesus' love to them. And then Jesus says we can love our enemies by our prayers, by praying for them. Pray for those who abuse you. Pray for those who persecute you. You know, if you can pray God's blessing on your enemies, it is proof that, Lord, first of all, you've forgiven them. And it's proof that you can overcome hate with love. You see, it's not hard, is it, to pray vengeance on your enemies. If someone has hurt you or abused you, it's easy to pray. It's easy to pray. What do we pray? Lord, sort them out. Lord, would they suffer for their sin? Lord, will they experience God's wrath and judgment? You know, may the judgment of God fall upon them for their unkindness and what they've said and what they've done or what they've thought about me and the rumors they've done or the injustice that they've attacked us with. You see, we our natural thing is to go to God and pray that his vengeance will come upon them. We pray that God's judgment come upon them, but not upon us, of course. Because we're perfectly innocent in it. And we've not ever done anything wrong at all. So, you know, Lord, judge them, you know. And it's a little bit like when Jesus talks about, you know, trying to get the speck of sawdust out of someone else's eye when you've got a great big roof beam sticking out of your own eye. You know, we can get the wrong end of the stick. But, you know, when we meet hate with love, you know, when we are praying for people who actually have hurt us and abused us, that is powerful. You know, God hears those prayers. And, you know, it's proof of your love. It's proof of your forgiveness for them. So why should we love our enemies? Well, first of all, hate multiplies hate, doesn't it? Hate is totally destructive. All it does is lead to a vicious circle of quarreling, cruelty, fighting, vengeance, separation, and misery. That is the reality, isn't it? How many of us talk to one another about someone who has hurt us and affected us, and we've responded, and so there's been breakdown in the family, breakdown in the marriage, breakdown in whatever relationships we've got. It might be at work, it might be at home, could be in the community. Hate multiplies hate. And we all know families that are ripped apart by hates. Brothers and sisters and parents and children and aunts and uncles who no longer meet or speak to one another. And all of these problems that happen. We've known marriages, haven't we? Ripped apart by hate. You know, it's amazing how husbands and wives can do and say the most terrible things to each other. You know, those who have once stood and proclaimed their love until death us do part start ripping each other's and each other's throats instead. You know, it's so easy to get there. You know, companies and organizations can be ripped apart by hate. People are forced to resign. There's vendettas, there's sackings, there's boardroom battles, there's shop floor fights. And you know, sadly, churches can be ripped apart by hate as well. You know, and that is the saddest thing, isn't it? Churches split, ripped apart by hate, factions, divisions, rivalries, accusations, splits, power struggles, abuse. And Jesus says in these words, no hate, only love. Meet hate with love. And the only way to break the vicious cycle of hate is with love. And in these verses, Jesus says no to revenge and retaliation. It's a great shame, isn't it? Because we do enjoy revenge and retaliation, if we're honest with ourselves. But Jesus says no to revenge and retaliation. He says to the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also.
That's very inconvenient, isn't it? Very inconvenient indeed. In the Middle East, you know, if you really want to insult someone, you slap them on the cheek with the back of your hands. It's a gesture of insult. It's a gesture of contempt. It's a gesture of rejection. And Jesus says, be different. Don't retaliate. Don't lower yourself to their standard. Don't slap them back. Offer them the other cheek. Come on. You see, radical love is to meet insult and rejection with love. With love. Keep pouring in love. Jesus says, from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Jesus says, be radical, meet hate with generosity. It will be a powerful witness to them. Jesus says, give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. How many times have I had people come to me and say, so-and-so borrowed that, and they've never bought it back. And, you know, there's real upset, real offense, because, you know, someone's borrowed something and they haven't bought it back. Jesus says, be radical, be generous, give freely even to beggars. Lend your stuff to others without expecting it back. That would make a bit of difference in the church, wouldn't it? I had someone ask me whether they could borrow my sports car the other week. That was a challenge. You know, it doesn't matter when it's stuff that doesn't matter to you, does it? But you know, when it's something that you value, something you treasure, something you enjoy, you think, well, no, I don't think I really want to lend that. Jesus then gives a general principle. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Do to others, in other words, as you would have them do to you. And the flip side of that rule is, don't do to others what you wouldn't want to be done to you. And you know, it's amazing, if you just think for a moment, just how radical Jesus' teaching is. If everyone in Sheffield lived by that basic rule of life, there would be no bullying, there would be no stealing, there would be no cheating, there would be no lying, there would be no violence, there would be no rape, there would be no murder, there would be no muggings. Our society would be a totally different place, a place filled with love, fairness, justice, and righteousness prevailing. It's incredible, isn't it? And then people say, oh, the teaching of Jesus is out of date. And we're paying all these hundreds of millions of pounds in taxes, you know, so that we can have a police service and a social service and all the courts and everything else just to try and deal with all the problems that's associated with people living as sinners, living hateful lives, doing all these horrible things to one another. And yet, if we just simply follow Jesus' rules, do to others as you would have them do to you. Because, you know, do stick up your hand if you want to be murdered. Or some have something else horrible done to you. None of us do we? So if only we followed that basic principle. Now just imagine how much more money we would have. We wouldn't have to waste it on all the other organizations that have to exist because of sin and the damage sin does in our world. God knows best. And Jesus wants his followers to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live radical Christian lives. He wants us to be persistently doing good, to be blessing others, but he recognizes that we need the Holy Spirit. And that's why it was so wonderful when we were seeing glory to his name. And we were praying, I don't know whether you were praying, but I was just praying, Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit was here. The Holy Spirit's within us. But you know, if we're going to live radically different lives, we need the Holy Spirit. Because in our human nature, we will always go towards sin, won't we? We'll always end up falling out with people. And doing and saying things that we shouldn't do and say. And we need God's Holy Spirit to be able to live lives of love, of this radical love. And the second reason why we shouldn't hate people, why we should love our enemies, is hate is self-destructive. You see, hate rarely affects very much the person you hate. It destroys yourself, doesn't it? Hate eats away at us and eventually destroys us from the inside. It wastes our time and energy. How many times have you lain awake at night thinking about what that person said and did and what I'm going to do? You know, it's amazing what you can think you're going to do in the middle of the night, isn't it? The next morning, you're a perfectly normal person, but, you know, in the middle of the night, you're going to commit murder. Oh, there's going to be so much wrath and judgment. You know, and we waste so much time and energy because hate can take us to an early grave, folks. We can be consumed by hate. Isn't it so sad when you meet someone consumed by hate? We can justify hate. Well, you don't know what they did to me. Justifying hate. I don't need to know what they did to you. God needs to know what they did to you. Because God is the God of justice. And he's the one who can sort it out. And he's the one who can bring you peace. We can be consumed by hate. We can justify hate. But hate is never the right response. There's a little poem, a little ditty I came across on the effect of hate. Bit English this, really. But this is the story of Jonathan Jay, who died defending his right of way. He was right, dead right, as he went along, but now he's as dead as if he was wrong. Have you met people consumed with hate, eaten up with hate? Love is the only power that can destroy hate. And then thirdly, love for our enemies imitates God. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. The Old Testament tells us that God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Praise God. Praise God. That's the character of God. And God calls us to be like him. Oh dear. You put your own name. John is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger. Not so sure that my children would agree with that when they were little. And rich in love. You see, we worship, follow and serve a God of amazing grace, amazing mercy. God does not treat us as our sins deserve. The Bible tells us that once we were enemies of God. Our sin separated us from God. Our sin made us enemies with God. But God, how did God respond in hate? No, God in his amazing mercy loved us even as his enemies. Praise God. He loved you as his enemy. He loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin and for my sin. That's the heart of the gospel. And so when we love our enemies, we are imitating the very actions of God the Father himself. We who were once enemies of God, alienated from God by our sin, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only have we been brought near, we've been brought into the family of God, praise God. And there will be, you know, there's every reason for us to celebrate that when in a few moments we take communion. That is what we're celebrating. That we were enemies of God and we have been brought near. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a religious phrase. By the death of Jesus Christ on the cross to pay the price and the penalty for your sin and my sin. And therefore, we need no longer to be enemies with God. Because when Jesus died on the cross. He took our hands and he took God's hands and he brought them together and said, you no longer need to be enemies. You can be united together as one. You can be children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Aren't you glad that God loves his enemies? Because that means that God loves you and God loves me. If God didn't love his enemies, we could have no hope. There would be no way of avoiding God's judgment and condemnation. In Jesus' lifetime, he was abused, ridiculed, criticized, condemned. Immediately before his death, Jesus was beaten, tortured, abused, mocked, and crucified. Did Jesus meet that hate and that injustice with hate? No. Jesus displayed incredible self-control, incredible love, incredible dignity. What were Jesus' words? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those are the words of love. Those are the words of powerful forgiveness for his enemies in the face of enormous problems. Someone's trying to speak to us. Not sure it's from the Lord. Jesus says in these verses, whenever we love our enemies, whenever we bless those who persecute us, whenever we do good to those who hate us, whenever we pray for those who persecute us, we are acting like God's children. We are being God-like. We are imitating God. And Jesus calls you and me to follow him, to radically love even our enemies. And when we do, the world will sit up and listen about the Jesus we love and serve. How are you going to react to the person who has offended or hurt you? Will you retaliate them? Will you cut them out of your life? Will you cut them out of your will, if you've got a will? Will you refuse to speak to them? Or will you radically love them and see the transforming effect of your love on them? Will you follow and obey Jesus in showing radical love to your enemies, to those who have hurt and hated you? If we're going to be more like Jesus, we're going to need the Holy Spirit. So let's just pray before we go into communion. Lord, we want to thank and we want to praise you for the example of God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us, Lord, to meet hate with love as you met hate with love. Lord, we know that we need your Holy Spirit. We come before you as sinful human people. And Lord, so often we sin and we fail. And Lord, we build barriers between us as people. Lord, empower us by your Holy Spirit that we may be people of love. Lord, people of radical love. Lord, who are empowered by your Spirit to love even those who are our enemies, Lord, we pray. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.